listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show here. Welcome to LA Talk Radio and Your Ultimate Life, the show that we've got to help you create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy by using your gifts, your experience, and your talents, and especially those tough lessons you've learned in life. I've got a special guest today, David McLeod, who I have had a long time ago, but you guys haven't seen him for a while. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kellen. Great to be here.
Well, glad to have you. So, David, I don't do introductions on the show. Well, everything you do will come out as we talk, and so feel free to refer to whatever is appropriate in the context of our conversation. So the first thing I wanted to ask you to think about with us out loud is, you know, I know you and you know me, so we know what we're doing in terms of what we're trying to bring to the world, but nobody else does. So would you tell me, what's David's passion? What does David do on purpose to add good to the world?
Well, Kellen, I think the guiding principle that I am now living by, which has taken many years for me to figure out, is there is nothing more important than knowing, embracing, expressing, and experiencing the full truth of who you really are. And so everything I do now is focused on that one objective, helping people to really get down deep into the truth of who they are, unmasking all the, you know, the costumes and everything else that they put on to pretend to show up a certain way, and really learn to embrace the truth and bring that forth in an authentic way without apology, without regret, without anything other than just pure passion for who you really are. That's really what I do.
So let's dig into that a little bit. I like that, and I want to talk about it. What does it mean? Like, you've given me language to talk about it, but some more, like, what do we do instead? To talk about some contrasting examples, who you really are, what does that mean compared to what people do instead? Give me some examples.
Yeah, that's a great example. Well, I can give you an example that's relevant in my life.
Okay.
And that is, I spent a lot of my time living up to the expectations of others, doing things that I believe they wanted me to do in order to appear the way they wanted me to appear in life. And so I put on this mask of, the good guy, the people pleaser, those were the kind of personas that I carried around in my life for a solid 40 years before I even realized I was doing it. And
what does that cost you by doing that? So what you're telling me, I lived somebody else's script.
Exactly.
For my life for 40, long time, many decades. And tell me what that cost. What is the cost of doing that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That question is one that's difficult for people to answer, because more often than not, when people are caught up in that kind of behavior, they have no idea what cost they're paying. It's not until the shit hits the fan that they start to realize that something is not working right. And then it becomes apparent what the cost really is. Now, in my case, I realized that while I may have been checking off all the boxes for success and, achievement and collections and everything else, what I was not doing was honoring the truth of who I really am. I was not even owning that truth of who I really am. And consequently, I was relying on the rest of the world to define David, you know, and that, you know, on some level, it did work because I allowed it to go on for 40 plus years. You know, on some level, it was serving me. And I think in retrospect, now I can look at it and I can say it served me by helping me to understand that by not living according to the truth of who I really am and living according to someone else's script, as you put it, what I was actually doing was denying myself and abdicating my own sovereignty and my own power. And I was basically giving all that up. And so the lesson that I learned in that is this phrase that I gave you at the beginning, how important it is to know the truth of who I really am. And how important it is for others to know the same. And I believe that if all of us could learn that truth, that one fundamental truth, and begin to live according to that truth, the entire world would change like in a heartbeat. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. But in terms of actual cost, I don't know. It's not something that I can quantify in dollars and cents. You know, that's not the kind of thing I can do. But what I can say is, ever since I came out of it and I started to live according to who I am and according to my true purpose, my whole life has shifted. So what was the cost? Well, I got to miss out on all that good stuff that I'm having right now. And I wouldn't have known it if I hadn't gone through that experience.
Yeah. So you could argue that it's not really a cost, that it's a requirement. You know, it's a requirement to both understand and enjoy and fully express the gifts and talents. When we use the phrase who we really are, that can sound a little mystical, mumbo jumbo ish. And right. So let's talk about that a little bit. If I think about, so I'll use an example and then you can share how you see it for yourself or someone maybe that you've worked with or that you know. I was raised, like most of us of our generation, that it was the right thing to do to go to school, go to college, get an education, get a job, work for 30 or 40 years somewhere and just sort of be a cog and don't ask too many questions and just do a good job and get up in the company and make good money and have some vacations and so forth without asking too many questions about that. And I did, like you did, I sort of had an awakening when I was 52 in 2007, so 18 years ago. And what it meant for me is I had spent 30 years in a career I didn't care about. I happened to be really good at, so I ended up with C-suite positions in the U.S. and Canada and big shot, whatever. But it ended up for me to repeatedly, especially the last 5 or 6 or 7 years of that 30, empty, hating my life and hating my job and hating everything about it and still continuing because I thought I was supposed to. Until right. It melted down. And in my case, it was an enormous sort of meltdown stuff. It wasn't quiet. So if I say costs for me, that was horrifying. And I'll go on to say I don't resent or be upset about any of it because experiencing that, even for such a long time, has one, made me appreciate, and two, made me really flipping good at discovering and expressing the, if you call it the real Kellen, but whatever it is that I really meant to do. So that's an example out of my life. And so talk about that. Is that what you mean? Or are you talking about?
Oh yeah. I think, you know, you've hit it right on the head and your path is very similar to my own, although I'm sure mm-hmm. the many details were quite different. But ultimately it boiled down to the same thing. I had exactly the same upbringing. You got to do this. You got to go to school. You got to get an education. You got to get married. You got to have 2 or 3 kids. You got to have this kind of a house. You got to have these many cars. You got to have this and that and the other thing. It was all about accumulation and creating symbols of external success. That's really what it was. And, you know, on some level, that works. On some level, it works. And for some people, it may be satisfying and it may be enough. Okay. But for me, it wasn't. There was something always missing. You talked about being empty. And that was exactly I wouldn't have used the word empty at the time. Yeah. But I certainly didn't feel fulfilled. At one point, I said, hey, I'm doing all this stuff, but I feel miserable. Why? What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? You know, I tried going to God. I tried the born-again Christian stuff. I tried everything that I could think of. And of course, I tried plenty of alcohol, but that didn't help much either.
No.
So, you know, none of these external fixes would help me to get to what I was really looking for. And I didn't realize what I was getting to look or trying to look for until it was shortly after my mom died in 1992. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because I didn't express the requisite amount of sadness or tears, I had a falling out with my sister And when that happened, a huge amount of anger kind of exploded out of me, and it just shocked the hell out of me. And I realized, okay, I didn't realize I had this much anger in me. What's going on? So naturally, what I did was drank a whole bunch more alcohol to try and stop that anger, because that's what we did back then, you know?
Right.
And I also tried looking around for support in the religious groups I was in community groups, friends. And ultimately, I even tried finding a psychologist. I mean, we didn't do much about psychotherapy back then.
But right.
I found a psychologist. And when I sat with him, all the answers seemed to come back and make me the bad guy. And that just made me feel worse. So eventually I said, enough. I had to leave. I had to get away from all of that. And really, that was the best thing I could have done, even though it was painful for some of the people that were part of my life at the time. But I had to get away from all that. And I ended up going to California. And when I was down in California, all of a sudden I was exposed to people who were doing personal growth work. And I thought, this is cool. This is new. And I learned all about, you know, the shame, the mother wound, and all kinds of cool things. And ended up in 2003 doing a new warrior training adventure with the Mankind Project that just broke me open. And that's when the maximum amount of shame and anger and sadness came out of me and allowed me to begin to put myself back together. And in that moment, when that cathartic moment happened, it was the most powerful and most beautiful experience of my life, even though from the outside, it might have looked pretty ugly and messy. But it was right. The best experience of my life, because when it was all over, my body, I stood up and my body just kind of filled up with this beautiful gold blue energy that I could see flowing around everywhere. It was connecting me to all the other people in the room. Their faces, I couldn't see their faces anymore. All I saw was this big, beautiful, glowing blobs of light. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I knew we are all one. And I knew that I wasn't any of those things that I thought I had been in past lives. It was just a massive awakening that all happened at once. And there was so much download. I hate that word download, but that's kind of what happened for me.
Yeah,
there was
yeah.
so much that came in that I spent the next probably 15 years trying to figure it all out and figure out how to organize it and make sense of it. So that's kind of my experience.
Cool. Well, there's lots of similarity. When people talk about breaking open, that's what it feels like. And people use the same language, you know, shifts and breaking open and downloads and inspiration. And we use these words that point at experiences that are very difficult to describe. So we've both referred to tradition as being a thing that happened in you know, the years that we were in that space. But I don't, and there may be less amount of it today, but I don't really think so. I just think it's changed shape.
Right.
So my question for you is, what is wrong or what is off with our cultural instruction, you know, this collective society that we have, that we seem to be doing this over and over again? We create structures and we instruct or socialize people to be a certain way. And over, like I've heard hundreds, perhaps thousands of these kinds of experiences expressed with different words and different circumstances. Some had childhood trauma, some didn't, some had, you know, different things in their lives. It doesn't matter, but it all comes to this place of what am I doing? And then this sort of opening to a more true or powerful path. My question is, I just want your opinion. What's wrong that we're creating this and we continually create a structure where we need to freaking break it all in order to become okay again? Like, what's going on?
Well, now that is a good question. And of course, I've got some answers that might be considered very controversial.
I don't care. What do you think? I'm just asking what you think.
Right. I think that there are dark forces out there that are deliberately trying to keep us from fully expressing ourselves. I really do believe that. And it's very difficult to point a finger at a specific example of where this dark force might be coming from. But one way it manifests in the world that I see, in the physical world anyway, is through narcissism and very, very strong ego and all this kind of stuff. Shadow behavior that masquerades as I'm doing you a favor when in fact they're just stabbing you in the back. This is the kind of stuff that we see all over the world. Now, I myself have been influenced by this dark energy in my life, but it's not happening as much because of the work I have done and because of the fact that I've become aware of it. You can't really do anything until you become aware, right? That's the first step in any process. You have to become aware. And then the second step, I think, is to say, I have to accept whatever it is as it is. I can't put my spin on it and write a story about it and pretend that's what it is. I have to accept it for what it is. And that's not always easy for people to do. They say, well, if I accept it, that means I agree with it. No, it doesn't mean you agree with it. It just means you recognize it for what it is. And until you do that, you cannot change anything. You certainly can't change yourself. You can't do that until you accept how you are right now. So all of these are very, very important processes. And so I think what's wrong is these dark forces, I don't want to put names on them at this moment, but they work collectively to keep us as far away from awareness and acceptance as possible. Then we become compliant and we live according to their rules and regulations. And so this is why many times, you know, when you see someone who has lifted beyond that, I don't know about you, but I always feel some inspiration coming from that person. Someone who's willing to say no to the status quo. And I think of people who, for example, who may not be all that enlightened, but they still have a deep, powerful passion for living the truth of who they believe they really are. You know, they stand for what they believe in, and they set examples for us. Those are the kinds of people that inspire me, even if I don't agree with what they say.
You know, it's interesting because I don't mind putting labels on things. You know, the dark, the light, the dark wolf, the light wolf. There's throughout in our entire recorded history, at least, there has been the expression of opposing forces all the way back to yin and yang and in the Tao Te Ching and everything. And, you know, in religious or spiritual circles, we call it good and evil. We call it, and we have names for it in institutional stuff, but it is the expression of opposing forces. And the idea is you have to taste the bitter to know the sweet. There's all kinds of ways to express that. But I agree with you. I was just reading a book. There's a big fat book called Reality Transurfing. It's about 800 pages. And, you know,
it took you a couple of days to read it.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Right. And it's like this thick. And,
right.
And so, and, but it talks about, and it has a name for it. And it calls these things pendulums. And I don't know why I picked pendulum, but they feed on negative energy. And the whole description is just fascinating, but it's another expression of that thing. And when I think about this, I think about gravity. You know, gravity is something we understand. We expect it to stay the same, at least here on the Earth. And if I go to the gym, 100 pounds tomorrow is the same as 100 pounds today, right? And it doesn't suddenly become 500 pounds or something. And so we depend on that for our physical growth. It has occurred to me that there is an analog of energetic, or I call it spiritual gravity, that is required for us to grow or exercise spiritual moxie or muscles or whatever. And if it weren't there and it weren't predictable and dependable, just like physical gravity, we wouldn't have the opportunity to grow energetically or spiritually or whatever name you want to put on that. And so I agree. There are forces, they are oppositional forces. They're not benevolent, and they are required for us to achieve any level of growth. So I welcome them, just like I welcome and appreciate gravity in the context of my physical body. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with what you're saying. I tend to resist. Listen, I have an ego mind just like everybody else. So I use labels all the time. My ego likes to judge things, and I do that. I can't stop doing that. But what I try to do is I try to cut back on, you know, I try to pull back and say, okay, I notice that I'm having this judgment, and I am going to now instead pull back the judgment and see what's really true. That's what I try to do. So I make a conscious effort to avoid labels. So for example, mm-hmm. you mentioned the dark and the light, you mentioned the dark wolf and the light wolf. And I'm glad you brought that up, because the dark wolf and the light wolf, you know, there's that story, right? You know, the right. Indian boy talking to his grandfather, right. You know, I feel like there's these two forces and, you know, fighting within me, and the grandfather says, yeah, one is the light wolf. He's all good and joy and blah and this and that. And then there's this dark wolf who has all kinds of negative energy. And the boy says, well, which one wins? And the grandfather says, the one you feed. Now, it's a great story. But the problem is, here's what I personally have experienced. When I was doing my new warrior training adventure, one of the exercises we did was a shamanic exercise to connect with a power animal. Mm-hmm. And my process took quite a long time. My power animal didn't show up until right at the very end of the process. And what it was a black wolf that came out of the shadows. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh my good look. But a beautiful black wolf, big blue eyes. And I mean, a really gorgeous animal. Anyway, when that happened, I had a stunning realization. First of all, the black wolf is not evil mm-hmm. any more than the white wolf is good. They both have good and evil within them. And how you treat them is going to be how they treat you. And I realized that that black wolf was going to be the teacher for my shadow parts. Yeah. It was a beautiful realization and something that led me to do a lot of shadow work, which is, I think, the deepest work that anybody can do. And it's something that I think everyone should do, because we all have shadows, whether we want to admit them or not. And the problem is, if we don't admit them, then they don't stay dormant, but they do stay hidden. But they're like kids, you know. You tuck your kids to bed at 8 o'clock or 8:30 at night. You say good night, God bless you, and all the rest of it. You close the door and go to sleep. And while you're sleeping, those kids are out messing around in the yard. They climb out the window. They start throwing toilet paper on the trees. They do all kinds of stuff. And then they come back in the morning and they're asleep in their beds. And you think, oh, they're beautiful angels. Until the neighbor comes along and says, hey, look what your kids did. What do you mean? My kids would never do that. That's right. How we treat our shadow.
Right. You know, it's interesting, because if you think of the yin and yang expression, that mirrors what you're saying. They're both required. And one is, you know, you can equate it to masculine and feminine, more aggressive, more receptive, or I don't use the word submissive, because that's charged, but effectively it is. And both parts are required. Like, you don't know what's light until you've seen dark. You do not know what's sweet until you've tasted the bitter. We just don't. And we can pretend others, but there's no substitute for having walked through the dark night of the soul, whatever it looked like for you, right. Me, and whoever's listening here. Your dark night of the soul is yours to own. It's designed for you, and it is your crucible of growth if you let it. That stuff that happens to us, whether it's stupid stuff we did or things that happened around us, can ruin you or it can refine you. And my experience is it often does both. It might ruin you for a day, week, month, year, decade, 20 years, whatever. And the awareness that you described earlier and the conscious choice to allow it to refine you is the opportunity to climb the path of growth. There's a reason that the personal development construct is always talked about like a mountain without a top. Number one, it's a mountain. Nobody falls up a mountain. And it requires the work. If you want a higher vantage point on the mountain, you got to climb up the mountain.
Exactly. Well, you know, there's another aspect of the mountain that I want to bring up, and that is, it is a mountain. It is a mountain. And which that means that there's work involved in getting up the mountain.
Yeah. So, nobody falls up the mountain. Yeah.
Right. And so the other thing I want to point out is every once in a while, you're going to be going, you know, so far up the mountain, then you're going to look up the mountain. You're going to say, holy shit, there's a whole lot of mountain left here. Does this mountain ever end? And so you get discouraged. You may forget that you've, you know, of all the work you've done. So stop. Stop for a minute. Take a rest. Turn around and look down the mountain and see how far you've come. That is a powerful, powerful move because, hell, it may only be 10 feet. It may be 20 feet. It may be a mile up the mountain. It doesn't matter. Every step you take is further up the mountain. And if you turn around and appreciate it, you'll say, wow, I'm not at the bottom of this mountain anymore. And that to me is a really important thing to do. I'm constantly reminding people, shift your perspective. Look the other way. Change direction. That doesn't mean you change direction of where you're going, but just stop for a moment. Take a rest. Take a look around. Enjoy where you are right now.
So one of the things that you and I share in common is a love for music. And I know you've created a number of pieces of music, and I don't know if that creation was coincident with your personal growth journey or if it predates that, but talk to me about why you create music, but not just in terms of what you use it for in terms of growth or facilitating progress, but as your creative outlet, the expression of gifts and talents that you have. Talk a little bit about that.
I believe that at our core, we are all creative beings, every single one of us. There's no limit to the capabilities that we have in terms of our creativity. And each of us will find a slightly different outlet for creativity. For some people, it might be music, like you, for you and me. Maybe other things as well. Like I like to write poetry too. So those are two forms of creative outlet for me. Some people might say, I love skiing down mountains. Well, that can turn into a creative process because you may always find a slightly different path down the same mountain, you know? Or maybe your form of creativity is just sitting and meditating and just imagining beauty in the world. Maybe that's your form of creativity. It doesn't matter what it is. For me, when I sit down and start, you know, focusing on music, it's not like I actually create it. It's not like I'm saying I'm going to pull this thing here and this thing here and put it together and make a song. What happens is it kind of flows through me. You know, it's constantly flowing through me. I can write something new every day, multiple times a day. I don't always do that because I have other things that are important. But that flow of music just makes me feel alive, totally alive. And it gives me like this really strong sense of purpose because even though I'm not necessarily doing my part in that moment to help someone know, express, and experience the truth of who he or she really is, what I am doing is expressing myself. And that is, I think, a vital part of my life. So that's why music is so important to me.
So I want to just riff on that with you for a minute, because I think as any kind of a, in the personal development world, any kind of a guide or leader or speaker or mentor or coach or whatever word you want to use for that, unless you are this is my opinion, so you're free to disagree. My opinion and feeling about it from my own experience is if we are not the embodied truth of what we are trying to point toward or lead towards, we're not very effective. And depending on the distance between who I'm being and the thing I'm talking about, I might even be a fraud. Because all that really is happening is I'm talking about that thing over there. So I would say it is essential that you, in the way you've expressed it, understand, connect with, create from, and model the truth of who you are, your creative being, your creative talents, that download of information or truth or love or kindness. If we aren't that, then we're going to be crappy guides, because all we're doing is pointing at the mountain and saying, I don't know, but it's up there somewhere.
Right.
And we cannot do that. And so I say that is a fundamental requirement of anybody that's pretending or wanting to share that in a way to help others find it or do it or encourage them to find their own. We got to be. So it isn't a thing that you do, in my opinion, a thing that you do over there. It's essential that you do that, so that you maintain that your connection and power in your ability to express and encourage others.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. There's two things I want to say about this. The first is I cannot possibly help you do what you need to do unless I'm doing it for myself.
Right.
You know, we talk about giving from an empty cup. Well, you just can't do that, right? So you have to fill up your own cup first. Then you can share that cup with others. And this has to do with pretty much any energy you choose to share, including love, by the way, which is a boundless energy. And of course, an energy that I can always get easily. It takes no real effort for me. I can just simply open up and allow the love into my life. But not everybody can do that because they have all these blocks and stuff that they have put into themselves as a result of some of the conditioning and the programming that they've had to deal with in their lives. So that's the first thing I want to say. But the second thing I want to say is sometimes you're going to do something and your ego mind's going to come up and it's going to say, you're a fraud. And it's going to say that because maybe you just don't have enough experience yet to be able to do what it is you want to do. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being inexperienced at something. The key is there's always, always, always someone like one step behind you who can use your help, and someone one step ahead of you who will give you the help that you need. That exists everywhere. So if you're needing some kind of knowledge or wisdom or truth or experience or whatever that is missing right now from your life, bless you, brother, then you can easily find it. For example, you know, Kellen and I are friends. We happen to know each other quite well. We can call upon each other for support when we need it. That's just one example. But anyone who's listening to the show, you have friends too. And you can call on them, right? That's the whole point of having friends, is it not? So my invitation is, if you have a big dream, don't stop just because the dream is bigger than you think you can handle right now. You wouldn't have the dream at all if it wasn't something that the universe figured you could probably handle. So, you know, Kellen knows about this project that I'm working on right now. It's a project I'm temporarily calling Reclaim the Sacred Masculine. And I'm trying to bring the right men into this project. And it's a lot of work. And some of the men that I'm inviting in have a lot more experience in working with men than I do. And it's kind of intimidating for me. You know, I feel that fear building in my body when I think of inviting certain people into my group. And I just simply have to tell myself, if this is the right man for the group, he will join. I just remind myself that is the way it is. The universe will make it happen. It doesn't matter whether I have the experience or not, because having that man in the group will help me to build the experience. Do you see? So you can be a leader and a follower at the same time. And that's the beauty of this work.
Thank you for expressing that. So for about 2 years now, I have a mission. And the mission that I have is to reach 300 million people with a message and a truth of something I call WIPOS, worth, identity, possibility, ownership, and sovereignty.
Beautiful.
And in that combination, it leads to the same place that you're talking about. And the number 300 million is a lot of people. And so lots of people, mostly out of curiosity, of asking, well, how are you doing that? Or how do you keep track of it or whatever? And some a little bit skeptically or a lot, oh, you'll never this, that, and the other. And like you, it could, and initially, at least a couple of years ago, it posed a question because I really didn't have answers. And I do now. And the answer is, I don't know, but I know I'm going there. You're and right. I know it's going to happen. And I don't really need your support or love or agreement. I'm just going there with That's every right. thought and every breath and every creative motion. This show, my podcast, the books I write, I just got a foreword today for a book that I finished a month ago called The Sovereign Architect, which is about building that very thing. And it was a very nice foreword from a guy who I know is very, very, very wealthy and successful, this, that, and the other, like billionaire kind of stuff. And I didn't know if he'd write it or not, but I asked him to, and he did, and he wrote some really nice stuff. So just like you said, those things are only difficult because we think they are. They're right. just things to do. They're steps to take. And there is a place right now that David and I are both expressing to you listeners. If you have a dream, instead of struggling with how can I do this, a better question might be, why not? Mm-hmm. Like, why not? The first step, the next step. I don't know the end game of my project, multiple projects that I'm doing, building a university. David's building this, reclaiming the sacred masculine. The end state of that project or my project is not known fully. It is a vision that changes and morphs. And so if you have an itch, this is encouragement from two people who are pursuing the same kinds of things to lean in. Get the help you need and ask why not.
Right. Yeah. I love this. And you know, you talked about just take a step. Well, Lao Tzu said it himself, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. You know, you're not going to get anywhere until you take that first step. And it might be a tiny little baby step. That's okay. And not only that, but your first step might be in the wrong direction. Well, you won't know until you know where you're trying to go, right? So you have to have a sense of, you know, what's your North Star? Where's my North Star? Well, if my North Star is over here and I'm going that way, I'm probably not going to get where I want to go.
Right.
So, yeah. Always so keep checking in and saying, where's my North Star? Where's my North Star? Oh, it's over there. Okay. Now what can I do to move closer to that? That's the key. And one tiny little step. Remember, sooner you're going up the mountain. When you stop, take a look, and you realize how far you've gone, that's when it really starts to sink in that you're making progress.
I love it, and I'm glad you said that. I'd like you to tell people a little bit about your work. So we know you have this project, which is, because I've talked to you before, a book and maybe a program about reclaiming the sacred masculine, because we certainly have confusion and a lot of noise and nonsense around that, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that, the noise. But besides that project, like, what other ways? Because when I asked you in the beginning, tell me how you add good to the world, and you said, I'm busy trying to help people believe in, connect with, and express their full identity, their full being, all of the latent gifts and talents that we came with that obviously came in embryo, like an acorn. We have to develop and grow, and that's the point of the mountain. What else are you doing? What do you? I know that you have music that you have. I know that you've written some books. I know that you're working on this project. Like, what else do you do to cause this awareness and expression to happen?
Well, thank you for that. I've written a lot of collaborative books. I've written a couple of solo books. I'm working on a book right now called The Tree of Life Mastery, which really is, I think, a magnum opus. It describes all of my coaching techniques and ideas in one big volume. Well, actually two volumes. The first volume is the main text. And the second part is a collection of aphorisms and affirmations and journaling prompts that are associated with the main text. So that is a big project that is coming to completion. And thank you, Kellen. You've actually helped me by contributing a guest expert vignette on the topic of purpose, which is one of the 13 keys of my life mastery paradigm. So there's that project, and I'm going to be offering individual coaching around each of the sections in there. What else am I doing? I've got several podcasts that I do. I have a semi-monthly podcast called Magnificence in Motion, which basically gives me an opportunity to have a conversation like this with people like you, Kellen, who are involved in the world of coaching and mentorship and all the rest of it, to find out more about what they do and to help spread the word. That's really what I'm trying to do. Every little bit of message that gets out there, even if it only touches one person, is making a difference in the world. So that's kind of it. The podcasts, these projects, one-on-one coaching. I'm a busy guy, as I'm sure you are too.
Yeah, I know that you are, and that you have a number of things. I just wanted to make sure that the listeners, like, this isn't a philosophical exercise. The purpose of this show, I call it Your Ultimate Life. And I define that as living a life of where you love every single day. Like, not once in a while, not like you work for the weekend and you work for the summer vacay and that kind of thing, but to both model, because I live that purpose, prosperity, and joy every day. And you might think I'm nuts that I say, well, I get up and love the heck out of every second of every day, but it's true. And what David's described is his work to do exactly that same thing, that is colored by, informed by, and powered by his own life experience, studies, and growth. And both of us, and I'm going to have David express his thought about this in a sec, encourage you by saying, number one, it's possible for you, not for some magical people, because there ain't nothing special about me. And I'm not going to say the same about David, but I'll let him say that. There ain't nothing special about me. I just won't quit. And I have had experiences that have let me know because I now live that. So that's why I wanted you to say all the things you were doing so right. That people understand this is not a philosophical exercise, but a practical expression of this truth.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And by the way, I will say, this is one of those funny things that I like to say sometimes. I am unique and special in every possible way, and I'm not special at all. This is kind of, it's to me, it's the difference between the ego mind and the spiritual self. You know, my spiritual self knows how special I am, and my ego mind likes to think I'm super special, but I'm not. And that's the work that I think we're trying to do. So when you say I'm not so special, what you're modeling there is that you're catching your ego in the act and saying, ah, yeah, I get it. You know, that's the part that really wants to be special. But truly, not being special doesn't mean you have to be silent and hidden away and, you know, not showing up in the world. That's kind of a false humility. And I don't believe in that. You can be humble and special at the same time, you know?
We built this, here's the paradox. We built this social framework where in order to be special, you've got to have more of something than somebody else.
Right.
More status, more cars, more money, more recognition, more followers, more yo mama, I don't even know, whatever. You got to have more of it, and that means you're cool. And the idea that every single person breathing air can be fully happy, fully expressing, and fully powered by love and growth goes against that, because then you get to the place of, oh, well, nobody's special because everybody's cool. And the answer is, would that it would be so, that it may be so, that everyone is built and powered and fueled by the desire to love and serve instead of the desire to have more than and make you look stupid and me look cool or the other way around.
Right. Yeah, it's you're right. It's a paradigm shift for sure. And I know for me, my whole idea of success has changed dramatically. You know, nowadays my success is not measured in terms of dollars and cents and accomplishments and all that. It's more in terms of how much compassion and forgiveness and love and fulfillment that I feel. That's the currency of success for me now. It's very different. I'd love to have more money, but I don't really need it. So why should I have more money? Why should I take away from someone else in order to have more of something that I really don't need?
So I want to add something with that. I'm going to say yes to all of that, and not even and, but in the process of reaching the 300 million that I've got, and for spreading the message of reclaiming the sacred masculine, accumulation of assets, including, that's why I put purpose, prosperity, and joy. A big cash, absolutely. I charge for this, that, and the other. I sell books, and I charge for coaching, and I charge a lot of money, and I do a lot of things that create money. And I agree completely with what David said. I don't care about it. I don't go buy stuff. I don't have stuff because everything that I've got is for the effort of gathering the resources to build the university, Ultimate Life University, and to have, you know, help people, you and anyone else, to create the megaphone, the platform to reach and bless more people. Because the accumulation of stuff, I did that in my old life, cars and houses and boats and all the rest of the crap, and it killed me. Mm-hmm. And so realizing that the truth is in love and service, even if I got a pile of cash, the only question is, how am I going to use that to do that?
Exactly. That's what it is. It's a tool. And if the question is, will you use that tool for good or evil?
Yeah. So I want to make sure people know where to find you, how to get more, how to find your books, how to find your music, how to find your coaching programs, how to get involved in any way. If what we've talked about finding your gifts, about expressing your gifts, about living in purpose, prosperity, and joy, if any of those things have said, I want some of that in a concrete, real way, because we're not talking just woo-woo stuff. It translates into physical reality. David, how do they find you and you find all that good stuff?
Well, I have several websites, Kellen. I could give you my music website if you like. I can put it in the chat or however you want me to drop that in. But really, the main website that people can get a hold of me at is at yourlifemasterycoach.com. It's easy to remember, yourlifemasterycoach.com. And if you happen to turn that around and say, I'm going to go to mylifemasterycoach.com, you're going to get me there too. Okay? Both of those links will get to me because I own both of those domains. But that's where you'll find most of the information that I've been talking about here today. You'll find links to my books. I don't talk specifically about my music on that website, but you know, if you reach out to me through my contact page or something, I can give you the other information. Yourlifemasterycoach.com.
And I want you to, and I want listeners, I want you to take that apart. Your, which is you listening right now. And life mastery is what we all seek. We all know, either a little or a lot at different times in our life, that we're meant for more than working for the weekend and doing things that we don't like and feeling obligated and burdened. We are meant for more. You have infinite capability. So your life mastery coach, which is David.com. So find that place. Like, don't listen to this and have it just be a thing. Oh yeah, that sounds good. That won't serve you. If something has pricked you a little bit, said, then it's time. This is your wake up call, to go do that. So, David, I want to thank you. Do you have any closing comments? We've just got a few seconds left. So, what do you want to end with?
First of all, I want to say bless you on your journey. Each and every one of us has a special place on this planet and in this life. So, please don't ever try to diminish yourself. Don't abandon yourself. Don't abdicate your own sovereignty. Stand up and be who you are meant to be. That's what I would like to leave you with.
Well, David, I appreciate you coming here today. Thanks for being my guest. and sharing your heart, your work, your life, your passion, and your love with all of our listeners.
You're welcome, Kellen, and thank you for having me.
You bet. So, listeners, I want you to take this to heart. Like, I've known David for a lot of years. We met somewhere. I don't even remember, but it's been a while, many years, double digits, and he is true to his word. He lives the things he teaches, and he is valuable with tools and resources. And above all, his last words, take those to heart. You do matter. You have gifts and talents. You are unique and special, and the world needs your voice. Like, you cannot use it, or you can stand up and make a difference. The things that are yearning in your heart, it is possible to live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy every day. And I call that living your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.